I think we're warmed up. In fact, I know we're warmed up because I'm going to be demanding now.
Oh, this week, shit. All
right. You drop a marker, Cole. Drop a marker, Cole.
I'm doing it.
I'm not even going to ask anymore.
I know. I only respond to the bell. I'm like, what's his name?
Popov's dog.
Popov's dog.
It's wasted the entire time.
I hope people listen long enough to know that that's a title.
Welcome to the 26th level. If my voice doesn't sound like Cole Ross, it's because it isn't Cole Ross. It's a much far lesser host's voice, Ben Merkel. Yeah. So this is going to be the first time that I will introduce my name before I introduce other people's names, my co-host. But yeah, welcome to the 26th level. My name's Ben Merkel, and my co-host... Star.
Tonight you're joined by Cole Ross on the 46th level, but you're all right.
Is it 46? Cool.
It's 46.
I just saw the 5. I was looking at the Facebook page. All right. Okay. Well, you know what? I'm not sorry. I am the host this time. How dare you correct me, co-host?
So we're going back 5 months? Is that okay? All right.
That's all right. It'll be a time. No, never mind. I don't know. We'll go with this. 46.
Who else is here?
And who I'm David Money Smith.
Hello, David.
Yo.
So one of the reasons for the switch up is I kind of got Cole drunk from my Christmas present. So whoops. But
from 2,000 miles away.
That's right.
You got me a bottle of, let's see here, Joseph James Brewing Company, Inc. Fifth anniversary barrel aged smoked wee heavy. It is very tasty, but it's very pungent and also very alcoholic. So,
yeah, what's the percentage on that one, Cole?
14%, Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's bourbon age, so that's like a misnomer of a percentage, too.
Whew, yeah, but. Yeah. No, there's definitely some kind of percentage inflation happening. So, yeah.
So, I believe we do not have a multiplayer tonight, so we'll have a little bit shorter of an episode. But we have more drunkenness this episode, so it balances out, right?
This is true, so it will be more aimless and shiftless.
Yeah. Are we even doing a brief? Has anyone prepared this?
I have a brief.
I actually have one.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, who wants to go first? Not I.
Would you like to introduce the segment?
Oh, yeah. I would do that because I'm the host this episode.
Yes, you would.
Welcome to The Brief, where we share news in the gaming industry and frantically search for news in the gaming industry. Who would like to go first whose name is not Ben Merkel?
Well, hey, Ben, I would like to go. My name is Cole Ross, and I would like to tell you about PlayStation Now. So, when the PlayStation 4 came out and said, hey, we're not backward compatible, we were all like, what? I was like, okay, you've got like that crazy PC architecture, you're going away from the cell, that's fine, okay, cool. However, during CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, Sony came out and said, hey, we've got this thing called PlayStation Now, where they said that older PlayStation games will be able to be streamed to both the PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, and the PlayStation Vita. Mm-hmm. All right? So this is something that is similar to both OnLive, which came up and then died very, very quickly. Quickly, and also the Gaikai software that Sony bought and then died very quickly, which is like, hey, we'll run this game over here on this computer a couple thousand miles away, and we'll send you the video over here on your computer in your living room.
I believe they refer to that as the cloud.
Yes, the cloud. Can you explain the cloud to me, David?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I won't ask you to. I just wanted to know. I just wanted to know if you could explain the cloud to me. I spend 50 hours a week explaining the cloud to people. However,
You just tell them, like, well, when the sun heats up water, it forms a vapor.
Yeah, it's pretty much that overhead diagram of the water cycle that we got in middle school science class. except yes. with internet instead of water. No, but yeah. So they have a couple of games that they've been demoing at CES, including The Last of Us, Beyond Two Souls, and God of War Ascension, and The Puppeteer. And this can go on the Vita, which I've seen, and it looks pretty cool, especially with The Last of Us. Hey. Cool.
Yeah, I was going to say that game list encompasses both the best and worst game that I've played last year.
You know what? I think that deserves a...
Wait, so are you saying it can be backwards or forwards, whatever, sideways compatible to the Vita?
I think that it's whatever doesn't require a PlayStation 4 to run.
Okay, so... In effect, if I buy a PlayStation 4, I'm also buying a Vita.
I think so. That's if they allow it to happen. So what's happening is they either charge an individual rental policy for a certain amount of time on a particular game, or you can just subscribe to PlayStation Now.
Huh. Or later.
Yeah. Yes, it's like shitty taffy. It's now and later.
PlayStation Plus Plus. We're getting on Newspeak style.
PlayStation Increment.
Yes. There you go.
God, the three of us shouldn't be allowed on a podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah. So it's either rent the game or rent the service, right? Which I don't know. I've been asking for this kind of thing for a little while, which is let me subscribe to a service that gives me games to play, right?
Isn't that what PlayStation Plus already is?
Kind of, except this lets you play PlayStation Plus / 3 games on your PS4, which makes the PS4 really, really attractive to me. Actually.
Yeah, yeah. I can see if it does with the Vita, that's also very cool.
Yeah.
The PSN store is not carrying over, correct? Like games that you have in the PSN and the PS3 is not going to carry over to the PS4.
I don't have any idea, honestly.
All right.
Like it'd be cool if they said, "Hey, if you bought this on the PS3, you can play it forever in perpetuity throughout your PS4 through 80, which is as far as they'll go before the crabs overtake us, but...
I know at least, you know, through the PlayStation Plus, there are free games, and, you know, this is what Dennis did, you know, you can, in effect, you know, buy a game via that for the Vita, and then, even though you're doing it through PlayStation 3, so that would lead me to think that it would, you know, carry over?
Maybe. I think that through the PSN, it's actually a little bit more permanent than that, just because you can download the executable onto whatever device it's available to, as opposed to actually like having it run on this cloud device, you know, halfway across the continent, as it were. This seems like a little bit more of a sketchy kind of thing until they prove their record, right?
Right. I mean, ideally, it would eventually end up sort of being Steam style, right? Where you know, would kind of be part of your
even
identity.
Steam lets you download the executable and run it locally. This is entirely like we'll send you the video as long as you send us the controller input.
Huh.
Yeah. So, I mean, like. I shouldn't be skeptical because I know in 25 years we're all going to be eating food pills, crying in our carbon fiber cars, and playing
that are self drivable.
Yeah, yeah, and playing PlayStation games that are in the cloud. But yeah, I have to say that right now, comparing this to Steam feels like handing a distinct advantage to Steam. However.
Why are we crying in carbon fiber cars?
You know,
it's the future, dude.
Because the future, like, there's nothing to live for. Like, the sun has been choked out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And there's no sun.
Yeah. I mean, come on, keep up. Yeah. So yeah, that's my story.
I can go, or David can go. David, what would you like to do?
Sure, I've got one, and it's at least semi-tangentially related. Have you seen that they've announced the first batch of Steam boxes?
Yes.
Steam boxes.
Boxeye.
Oh, man. Greg Berbiglia?
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's the guy. Did you see him when he came to UC?
No. Did he come?
Yeah, he came. This was back in 2007, so literally 6 years ago.
I missed that.
Whoops. Yeah, I should have told you about that. I've been feeling bad ever since.
About that, like 7 years ago, man. they've been released. There's, I want to say, like 13 different manufacturers, each of which makes one, and they range in price from 5,000.
Yes, from $5,000 to a reasonable number.
They range in price from 500 to a little over 1,000, I believe.
Like 1,600 was the highest I saw.
With 1,600?
Yeah.
That's a little over 1,000.
Yeah. a little over a half over 1,000. Don't worry.
I feel like if you can afford a $1,000 game console, then $600 is a little over that.
Yeah.
It's partially some, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I know. Did you see that? Kind of, what was your thoughts on that?
So, I was expecting stuff to be about 500, but I didn't expect the very low Extrema to be 500.
Exactly.
Knowing PCs, 1,000 is probably the happy medium that anybody who is crazy enough about games to spend money on games to be, you know, like that. That's about what we would spend it on. Without seeing specs and stuff to be able to compare them on, really the only articles that I saw were comparing the looks, in which case it was like, oh, I'm going to hide you in a cabinet, so it doesn't really matter that much what you look like. So in a battle of price versus looks.
That's how I look at all my girlfriends, by the way.
Oh, yeah. What kind of cabinet?
Big enough. Yeah. It's like in the episode of Seinfeld.
Like where they put the Japanese people into the sleeping cupboards?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So I will take this moment to say that the people at Webb Hallen, which is a Scandinavian company, they are sending the network a couple of Dark Souls 2 special manufactured gifts. But Webb Hallen, so buy their Steam box. However, continuing.
The only one I saw, and I was looking predominantly at the low end because that's kind of where I found most interesting, is the one I saw for 500. It was some video card. I hate the way they number whatever video cards. Yeah, it makes no freaking sense. And it was an i5 processor.
Mm-hmm.
Which struck me as, that'll definitely work for gaming. You know, that's what I use for my gaming, laptop.
Yeah.
The only thing is, I bought my computer 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is theoretically competing on a console, it, probably has at least between a 5 and 10 year life.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'm not entirely certain that's going to work.
Yeah,
I'm curious to know how long they're going to support each of these consoles and if it'll be the same amount of time or if they'll kind of stagger off depending upon which one you buy.
Oh, it'll definitely not be the same amount of time.
Yeah, okay. See, the problem is I feel like it has to be. Like, I guess it depends on what you see this as.
Well,
I mean,
has is not ought.
Well, yeah. I guess what I'm saying is to be... My read on this, or kind of the story that was presented, was this is PC gaming as consoles.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I feel like for that to be a thing, it would have to be supported for, at least 5 years, and would probably have to be at least $600, something like that. Mm-hmm. That or lower. And this strikes me as not exactly being that, by and large.
Okay, so here's what I'm disappointed at not seeing, and I know that CES is not entirely for the majority of people, but the $150 box that will stream stuff from my actual computer to my TV that is in my place where I want to play games.
Sure.
Right? So I want the Steam equivalent of a Apple TV, right? Which is something okay. that I just plug in. It is a minimal investment and something that I can just be like, okay, all of the horsepower is over here, whereas the thing I want to put a controller into is over here. Let's do this thing, right? However, it's not here yet because I just bought a $3,000 laptop that will play any game imaginable. However, I can't well, imaginable, because I can just, I have Windows
imagine
on it.
That they.
Okay. No. I have Windows on this thing, so I can play any game imaginable. So,
okay.
But yeah, like, you know, just to be able to like stream it over this thing. That is the thing about SteamOS that really makes me feel good, which is I don't have to have two machines or compromise with one machine in order to play this in a setting that I feel comfortable in, which is on my couch in front of my coffee table where I can take notes and possibly stream to the internet if I feel comfortable doing that.
Right. Sure. And I guess what I was hoping for, and that, you know, a little bit different, is either something that was either cheap enough that someone who normally wouldn't get a gaming computer, you know, would see this, say, hey, that's cheap, I'll get it. Mm-hmm. Or alternately, something that for the price was powerful enough that someone who would normally just get, you know, fairly, you know, average power computer would be willing to say, oh, I'll spend, say, $100 more and get this, you know, ultra powered one.
Yeah.
And I feel like these are neither of that, if yeah. that makes sense. The $500 is too expensive, I think, for someone who just, you know, isn't interested to, you know, that get them to be interested, but it's not powerful enough for someone who's going to buy a standard PC to, you know, want to upgrade.
I was hoping that that Valve would come out and say, like, hey, the average price that somebody's going to spend on a gaming PC is about $1,000. Well, let's take our clout as somebody who mass produces these machines, now that we're making these machines, and bring that down to about like $600 to $700, and right. boom, here you go. You can buy this box that comes from the factory, able to play every game that you will, you know, that you would want to play, and play those games, right? Like, you know, let's take this clout and make it so this stuff is accessible. Rather, right. it's kind of this incomprehensible mess that is, you know, dependent on any particular manufacturer giving you something via specs. Oh, wait, you can't see the specs yet because this is CES and we count on you being some kind of early adopter douchebag who buys stuff sight unseen. Ergo, bleh.
Ergo bang.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yeah, and that ends up being exactly what we have already. Like, the Android Steam Box is basically, or Android, I'm sorry, the Alienware.
No, you're right, don't worry, don't amend that, I completely agree.
Yes, well, the Alienware Steam Box is basically what Alienware already was.
Kind of. Did Alienware put out a Steam Box? I didn't see
yes.
them.
Yeah, they're one of the manufacturers. but they're one of the ones that won't even tell you how much it's going to cost.
Yeah. So my eyes just gloss over it, any mention of Alienware ever on the internet. So
I know your weakness.
Well, I mean, if you're trying to, you know, camouflage everything in Alienware.
So David, if you want to get Saints Row the Fourth, just run into his apartment and just say Alienware, and then yank it.
This seems like a plan.
I think Dennis called it. So,
has he gotten it yet?
No, he hasn't gotten
Wait.
It.
Wait. Okay.
Law of the jungle.
Law of the jungle.
It's Cincinnati, man. Welcome to the jungle, yeah.
You're going to die.
Stands, yeah.
But,
very cool.
Yeah. I feel like they're on this. The problem with that is that, you know, the big thing, it seems like, or one of the big things that, you know, everyone was talking about with the actual consoles when they came out is that with pricing was the idea of, you know, are they going to sell it at a loss? You know, are they going to try to make money off of hardware? And I feel like kind of the interesting thing with this is Steam, Valve, is the only one who can not make, can make money off of software. Does that make sense?
They can't make money off of hardware since they are not producing the consoles directly.
Well, I'm saying they could have come out with a Steam Box, and all the others, since they only make hardware, have to make money off of hardware, whereas Valve was the only one that didn't have to.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So Valve, no matter what, if they put out the crappiest possible Steam machine imaginable, they're still making 30% off of every game sold, which means that they make as much money off of it as possible.
So they could have subsidized their own console prices. Yeah.
Which is that, the Apple model, and therefore works for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I feel like the problem the problem with this is that, you know, no one knows how this is going to turn out. So, you know, if this theoretically, you know, became crazy popular and was the next, you know, Nintendo Wii, which I don't think it's going to be, but if it was, then maybe they could start doing economies of scale and, you know, drop the prices. But right now, the companies making these can't really afford to do that.
I just think there are too many manufacturers for that to happen.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, and the Wii was sold at a profit anyway.
From the beginning.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. Like, the Wii was sold at a profit because, well, Nintendo, you know.
Because Nintendo knows that to make a profit off of a business, you have to sell everything for more than you made it for. Like, that is how businesses work. Like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills here. Sell stuff for more than you make it for.
Yeah.
Ugh.
The one thing I'm a little bit surprised is that they didn't come out with some, like, you know, most indie games are not like crazy, like Crysis 3D graphics. I'm a little bit surprised they didn't come out with like an indie game model that was just, you know, just fairly mediocre specs, but that was affordable for, you know, people that just want to play the really good indie games.
I'm actually kind of glad that they don't have something like that, because my big trepidation with PC gaming is, like, I don't want to have to constantly keep updating stuff, and I don't want to have to, like, worry about will it run or not, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm kind of glad that it seems like everyone is, like, kind of guaranteed to run stuff for a certain amount of time.
Yeah. But,
I think that's what it comes down to, is will this catch on enough that they can have enough clout to get people to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to have a wait-and-see approach as far as whether or not I'll get one or not. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I was curious about this first round of reveals, which I know I oughtn't be because I'm more of a second-round adopter kind of guy. But but yeah, like, I would just want to know that these things work. And the fact that most people are not willing to reveal their specs or their prices, those are both really important pieces of data for somebody who is wanting to make a buying decision, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When's the release date of these these quote unquote consoles?
2014, maybe.
Right about the same time as Half-Life 3.
Speaking of which, I start a segue?
Oh, you may. You're the host.
Segue.
After all,
are you finished with your story, David, or are you going to add on? All right,
I'm almost finished with the beer you poisoned me with. So,
at least it's better than a Siberry Smirnoff, right?
When did I ever imply that I drank that?
The video on my phone that doesn't exist anymore.
Was that a Siberry? No, it was that was Smirnoff Ice. Okay.
Yeah, Smirnoff Ice.
I was thinking of actual Smirnoff vodka, which somehow seems better in that instance.
It probably would be.
I will shut up then, because you have incriminating evidence.
Probably less Bernie, I guess. But anyway, back to the segue that is no more. speaking of Half-Life 3, there's something that reminded me of that. So I have two stories to share for the brief, which is no longer a brief. But first one, I sent you guys links to this. Perhaps they will be in the notes. But the first one was a completely computer-rendered environment that looks pretty realistic. So there's a YouTube video of just the setting of a kind of like an old garage that's disheveled. And the camera pans through and looks at the rubble and stuff. Have you guys seen this? Have you clicked on this link yet?
No.
I'm trying to pull it up, and it's not... Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've seen some of the articles for this. This looks really, really spiff.
Okay, yeah. So when I saw this for the first time, I was like, okay, if Half-Life 3 has these graphics, I'm totally okay with the wait. But it just made me think of Half-Life 2 the first time that I saw Half-Life 2. But
yeah, you know, 8 years ago.
Yeah. That's all right. That The Last Guardian. I'm a patient man.
Like, you know, Half-Life 2 looked amazing 4 years, or sorry, 8 years ago. But
that's true. Yeah.
Now, you know what's going to be really funny is when they announce Half-Life 2, Episode 3.
Yeah, when a crowbar enters
Half-Life
the frame.
Half-Life 3, another 8 years.
Another 8 years. 8 more years. Yeah.
All right. And so anyway, besides that, I had a legitimate game story, not just a mental association to a game story.
Yeah.
It is about Final Fantasy 13. They're apparently going the way of Majora's Mask, it seems. So the idea is they introduced the Doomsday Clock. And so they're creating an environment so that players can see kind of explore the same environment over the course of 13 days. I don't know much more about that than that, but it's basically so it follows the same thing as like Grand Theft Auto, where it's dynamic in the sense that at night places could be more dangerous than during the day, and environments will change throughout the course of the 13 days. But the idea is that you need to try and save the Final Fantasy world in the 13 days of time. So I guess this is an expansion, but
so. 15 or what? what game is this that I can buy to play this?
It's Final Fantasy 13. So that's from, you know.
I've heard about that twice. So.
Third Try's a Charm?
wait.
Third Try's a Doomsday? I don't know.
Third Time's Doomsday.
Wait, yeah. So is Final Fantasy 13 one that's been released already? I don't really care about Final Fantasy.
Yeah, back in like 2009.
That was the one that everyone hated.
2010. Sorry, yeah. Japan in 2009. Stateside 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so here's the thing that Square needs to not do, which is release 17 tertiary or quaternary properties related to things that people might possibly care about, such as Final Fantasy 13 Agita or whatever, you know, like this idea, which is Final Fantasy melded with Majora's Mask, which is, I will never be ashamed to say, my favorite Zelda game ever, right? Maybe aside from Link's Awakening, but even that is less popular than Majora's Mask. So, I would care about that. However, they're oversaturating their brand name with this stupid fucking bullshit.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's kind of tough to have a reaction to a game that came out 4 years ago.
Maybe, but are they saying that in the course of 3 days, all copies of Final Fantasy 13 will not be playable? So you have to go through and, using lightning from Final Fantasy 13 and snow from Final Fantasy 13, solve these dungeons from the Gorons and the Zora in order to make these copies still playable. Like, I might play that. Okay, so you have to play.
Wait a minute, what? How did you get that from this story?
No, you have to play Zelda Majora's Mask in order to keep these copies of this game that people kind of liked, maybe, playable.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll admit, when I first read the story, I thought it was about the upcoming Final Fantasy, so I was like, oh, that might be interesting to see how it pans out. And then I realized, oh, wait, this is from a game 4 years ago, so...
I just, like, what the fuck are they doing? Like, they should just be focused on promoting Final Fantasy 15, because God knows they have to try and make people care about that.
So, here's, like, an inside scoop. One of the persons at my work, his, like, cousin works for Square Enix or whatever in Japan. But he was saying how, like... It has, like, a team of, like, hundreds of people, and they've been working on it for, like, 5 years. And apparently that's, like, a lot of people and a lot of amount of time for a game, which stands to reason. But
well, yeah, like those games take a really long time to make. So, yeah.
So is Final Fantasy still, like, popular in Japan? Do people still care about
it? It's like the Harry Potter of pressing buttons.
Yo, wizard black mage?
Now I just want to play Final Fantasy IX.
Speaking of playing games,
the grind.
The grind is where we talk about video games that we've been grinding away at or playing if you're white. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing, Cole. I don't know how to be a host. I'm sorry. This is my mid-host breakdown. You guys are supposed to console me.
No, I am here as your pillows / series of dragster parachutes.
All right.
No one feels the way you do.
that's a pretty good reference there, Money Smith. That high school Ben Merkel gets. That's a reference from before we knew one another.
That's weird, right?
It's my life. Yeah. That's like my friend Chris Partridge would frequently reference stories and pretend like he was there, and before, like, long before you had ever met the person, like he was trying to insert himself in people's memories.
Well, I mean, several studies have said that's actually fairly effective.
Oh yeah,
yeah. There's several studies that have basically shown that people's memories are unreliable as heck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the legal system.
I've basically insinuated to a lot of people who met me very recently that they have encountered me in very, let's say, previous areas of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where you're like, hey, remember high school prom? That was great.
Yeah.
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 Anyway, I'm going to reintroduce this segment.
Okay.
That's cool.
That's cool.
All right. The Grind is where we talk about games that we have been playing. Who would like to go first?
I'll go first.
All right, cool.
Starbound and not the fuck much else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a one-game pony this week as well. But yeah. How is Starbound?
That's great. Like, it's... I've reached the point where discovery is not much of a motivator for me anymore. Okay. And it's more like, okay, I see what the requirements for the next boss tier are, and I slightly work towards them, and I fail to meet those requirements, and therefore I stop playing and then go about my life.
In Starbound or outside of Starbound?
So outside of Starbound for the last part.
I don't know how involved this game is, so okay.
It's pretty involved. So I think I'm about ready to start dropping it off until they enter a more, let's say, advanced stage of development.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I still think that it is really, really solid. I still think that they're great at making you feel like you are discovering more things, even though they are just throwing bigger numbers at you, and also more fancy names minerals at you, such as, what is it, like, antebellum? as opposed to iron or whatever. It's great. Like the different bosses have different levels of tactics and such available to you. However, I would like to let it find its level a little bit before I invest more time into it, in terms of like what it will actually give me credit for doing. And so it's neat because like I found a drill versus a pickaxe. However, a drill versus a pickaxe isn't enough of a development in order for me to feel like I am making a huge amount of progress. So yeah, I might be done with it.
Until they
I love how you open this by saying, I am no longer able to enjoy discovery.
Yeah! I am numb.
After playing this game, I have lost the ability to feel curiosity.
I mean, it's still cool. Like, I've found more random-esque dungeons, you know, to a certain extent. Be that crazy sewers full of slime monsters or prisons full of slime monsters, but that aspect of it is cool. However, I want to feel like the weapons I'm collecting from the people I kill mercilessly or the civilizations I harvest mercilessly are counting towards something.
right definitely. And that's definitely this has also been the only thing I've really been playing.
Okay.
That's definitely a thing right now, is there the reward structure doesn't seem fully implemented.
So it seems like they have a lot of resources dedicated towards writing this stuff. And mm-hmm. if there was more writing available to us at this point, I would feel more motivated to do more things after what I've already done. However, sure. because there's not, it all feels relatively formulaic or templated. And that is...
A turnoff?
A little bit, yeah. But that is not to say that the mechanics of the game don't hold up. Like, I really think the mechanics of the game hold up.
Right on.
Yeah.
Is it for computer? I take it only.
Yeah, it is. It is Mac and PC and maybe Linux.
Linux
I don't
also
know
Linux.
Why you care. Yeah.
also runs on the Penguin.
It is all those three things enabled. But yeah.
They have said, I think one of their FAQs is asking about software. Yes, it's going to be software. No, ask about consoles. And I believe they say that, you know, they're interested in at some point in the future maybe doing a console version. But right now the focus is on computers.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think for me, I found something that kind of sums up particularly what you were saying, their resources for they've dedicated to writing. You know, the game, you know, just has this vast map, and you know, you can choose, you know, travel to various different star systems, and there's literally hundreds of star systems. And
I would stop you and say like maybe thousands to billions of star systems.
Yeah. Yeah,
because their random generation seed. So
right, exactly. Mm. So I mean, just a huge number, and the one I actually started on was like, I'm going to butcher this, but was like the Fribulon Vox star system, which happens to be the name of the planet from Commander Keen 6.
Yeah, yeah, we talked about that last week.
Actually, that was at launch. It's neither here nor there.
So should I go or
maybe.
I know nothing about this game, so I have no incisive questions to ask.
We've talked about it a shit ton in the past couple weeks. So,
all right. Well, I guess I will go then. I've been playing XCOM Enemy Within, the expansion to Enemy Unknown. It's a pretty awesome game. If you've played Civ and you like Civ, this game is just as cool. It's by the same people who did Civ Rev. Yeah. I've played it for the last 2 days, pretty much every free moment that I've had. I know Dennis has played this. Have either of you guys played this?
I've actually played it, yeah.
Okay.
Not Enemy Within, but like Enemy unknown a while ago.
Yeah,
but
okay, yeah, it's totally fun. It's a nice strategy game. You're defending the Earth. The first thought I had when I was playing it is like, this is what Mass Effect 3 should have been. Totally, you know, like it's a fun version of Earth defense. You know, but sorry, that might be hurting feelings of people who like Mass Effect 3. So.
I mean, what about people who are indifferent to Mass Effect 3?
I am somebody who's indifferent to Mass Effect 3.
Okay, cool.
But, yeah, so I don't know what else to describe besides that. Basically, the turn-based strategy is you have missions where you either go down to areas where people are being abducted or where UFOs have crash-landed, and you fight aliens. And so you basically have a squad of people ranging from 4 to 6 people. Who will either die if you are not good at your job, or they will level up and become pretty boss if you are good at your job. And you're just moving them around a small map and trying to get them to find where the aliens are and then kill the aliens. But it's turn-based, so you can move each of your units a certain distance each turn. And after you're done moving each of your units, the aliens get a chance to move and attack. So it's kind of, I don't know what to compare it to. It's almost Quarter like, battle. I don't know what that is.
Fantasy Tactics?
I haven't played that.
Well, I mean, it's to those things that David, unpromptedly, invoked, turn-based strategy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I guess it's like Command and Conquer if it were all people and no jeeps and cars. Maybe.
No jeeps allowed.
Yeah.
We don't serve your kind.
It's Command and Conquer Pedestrian Zone. So, yeah. But yeah, no, it's totally fun, though, because when you're not doing this turn-based encounters, you have a base, which at the beginning you kind of choose which continent it's in, and whichever continent you choose, you get a certain amount of bonuses or a certain different set of bonuses. And you have to kind of manage this base. So you're trying to protect, I think it begins with maybe like 14 countries thereabouts. And you have to kind of protect all those countries. And so that means if someone's being invaded by alien race, it makes it hard because they'll invade 3 different countries at the same time. And you have to like pick one to save the people at. So basically 2 of the countries, their quote unquote panic level increases, which is if it gets too high, they will leave your society and not give you any money. And you've kind of lost that country. So you kind of have this managing system where you're trying to manage building up this base so that it's competent and you can, it improves like your planes and your soldiers. And then you're also have to manage like a money system where each of the countries that you're protecting is paying you money once a month. And so you have to kind of spend that on your base. And then you're also managing research, based on the aliens that you encounter and various things. So, yeah, so it's super fun. I really like it. I will be playing that for the remainder of the night after the podcast. So.
Yeah, I really like the seed system they use for the various random aspects of it. Have you had any experience with that or run into that at all?
What do you mean with the?
Well, yeah. the random number generator, the seed for the various random things is actually set. So that even if you do like a save and restart, you know, restart to it. For example, like if you, let's say you like have everyone on your team, you save, then have everyone on your team like shoot at an enemy,
mm-hmm.
and like the first one hits, the second one misses, and the third one hits. If mm-hmm. you reset and do that again, the exact same thing will happen.
Oh,
okay. You know, the same thing with like where the aliens will like crash land, what countries in. stuff like that. It's randomly generated like at the beginning of the game, but then it uses the same seed for the random number generator so that you can't cheat it.
Okay. Or so that you can cheat it.
Yeah, it ends up being... I actually kind of like it because I feel like it ends up being kind of a compromise in that, like, a lot of times when I did save it, it on the one hand, it wasn't like a roguelike thing where it's just like straight up like you have to succeed or deal with the consequences. It almost became kind of a puzzle thing where it's like, given these sequence of events, you know,
how can you properly, yeah.
Right, so like I'd keep playing through it until I figured out, okay, this is how I want it to, you know, to go.
Yeah, I agree that it's kind of a happy medium.
Right.
I played one game for about 2 or 3 hours, not saving it at any point, and just kind of going through. But all my people kept dying, so I restarted and then saved frequently as to keep all my people alive. So
this kind of relates to that. Well, my one major complaint with the game is the fact that you can't choose what class your characters become.
Yeah, how it's kind of random, and you can end up with like 5 snipers or
right. Yeah. And they are not at all balanced. Sniper is basically the master class.
Yeah, that's kind of what I found, especially with the genetics upgrades, having them be able to jump on any building.
Okay, I see. Actually, the genetics is something that's specific to, I believe, is specific to Enemy Within.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the you know, each of them, they get abilities. Eventually, they get an ability that either lets you them keep shooting until they fail to kill something, or lets them like shoot multiple times around. And once you get that, they can just decimate things.
This is for the sniper class?
Right.
Yeah.
So basically you can get an ability where they can see whatever any of your teammates can see. And
that's early on too. That's right. The second upgrade.
And then they can keep shooting until as long as they get a kill each time. So you basically send out your guys to scout while your sniper is off on top of a building. And then just blow everything away.
Yeah, it does seem to be the snipers are definitely the ones who put in the most amount of damage. But at least in the beginning, it does seem balanced with the fact that like they can't shoot if they've moved. And they're kind of ineffective when they're not sniping.
They can't, exactly. They are not what you want to, you know, do for a panic mission or whatever.
Yeah, I do like how there's a nice, like, so the options you have when you're moving people around in the turn-based part, I like how one of the options is you can just cover an area so that if an alien moves in your line of sight, you'll automatically shoot at them. So, yeah, that's really nice with the snipers, too.
This discussion of XCOM has summoned me.
From beyond the grave. What's up, Dennis?
Not much. I love XCOM, and in the playthrough that I was doing, I've kind of stalled out on it, where I was trying to beat the game with just one soldier. Sniper is the class that I used.
Wait, literally one guy?
Well, I'm playing it on easy, so don't think too much of me.
But also don't think too little of him, because Dennis is Dennis.
Yeah. Aw, thanks. Yeah. So sorry I'm late. We had guests over. We record on Tuesday, which... once in a rare balloon Moonraker lands on 007 on the 7th.
Oh.
Which we watched Moonraker.
Interesting.
And that was good.
Really?
But thank you guys for letting me hop on after I kind of ditched you for the beginning. So,
no, don't worry.
Yeah, I'm glad I came in on XCOM, though. That's a high note.
You're going to have hop-ons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Point of order, Dennis. I'm hosting the show this week.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, because Ben got me like crazy drunk on this, like, let's say toxic beer.
Oh, cool. Are you having that tonight?
Oh, I had it. Don't worry.
Oh, it's a Merry Christmas.
I was telling Cole where it's like the person who I decided to give that gift to was the person who's like whose confidence I had the most or whose liver I had the most confidence in. Yeah. So
yeah, and I failed.
That happened to be Cole. Sorry, Cole. Yeah. Anyway, well, cool. XCOM's pretty awesome. Dennis, what do you think of the game?
I haven't played it in a long time, but just the 5 seconds that I was here for makes me really, really want to play it again. So.
Did you beat it?
Yeah, I beat it on normal difficulty, and then I started like 6 different for fun playthroughs. So one was just with one person, one was on the hardest difficulty, and I think
where
the
you
third
can't save.
No, I was doing hardest difficulty, but you can save, and then the final one I was doing regular difficulty, but doing the Iron Man where you can't save.
Okay.
There's no way you would get past the first couple of levels on the hardest difficulty on Iron Man. It's just not possible. There are too many times where you do everything right and everyone still dies.
Oof.
Yeah, it's that is not a fun playthrough. That is purely a I will hate play this game until I win scenario. But it's XCOM, so.
What happens if all of your people die on like an excursion or whatever?
You go back and you start over with rookies and you lose that. I mean, you lose the encounter. So there's, you know, panic goes up and okay. You lose all your people and you have to recruit new rookies. And if you haven't been recruiting rookies, then, well, you're going to go with your last guy until you can get new rookies.
And so or you just sit and wait. Rookies become heavy weapons, guys.
Yeah.
So what's like the lose condition if like all the countries leave XCOM?
It's either all of them or just enough of them.
Okay.
Like I think it's not all. There's like a percentage that you have to keep it above. I think you have to have at least 3 countries, maybe, or 3 continents, or whatever it is.
Sometime you should try the original XCOM.
Yeah, I don't know how to. Maybe there's like a settings option where I can switch to that. But
well, no, I mean the original XCOM as in like
the first.
Yeah.
Who developed the first one? Do you know?
I'm not sure. Cole, do you know this?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. It was developed by Mythos Games and Microprose Software.
So, fun fact, for the new XCOM, they made every single person who worked on it beat the old XCOM before they could work on the new one.
Really? Because
they wanted to be, yeah, they wanted to be true to the spirit of the old game.
That's, considering that's, like, notorious for being, like, a crazy difficult game, that's
yeah.
saying something.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. this is Fire Access Games, right? I should try and beg for a job at that place, maybe.
Well, I mean,
they make amazing games, man.
Yeah. Like between XCOM and Civ Rev. Like,
yeah.
God, now you're gonna send Ben on a Civ Rev binge.
Well, I'm on an XCOM binge right now. I mean yeah. I have Civ Rev out. It's actually I can see it right now, but
give me your chip.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm digging XCOM, so I'm going to keep playing that. Dennis, what have you been playing?
Oh gosh, what have I been playing over the past week here? Is everyone else gone? Should I hop in?
Yeah, you're the last.
Yeah.
One.
Okay. Cool. I have been playing lots more Gravity Rush, which again is an incredibly fun game, but the story makes no goddamn sense. So just to, I think, I feel like I left you guys hanging last week because I said you had, you know, someone had dropped their letter off the side of a cliff and you chase that down this, you know, gigantic hole to a plot significant boss fight, you know? And just to close that loop, you actually, on your way back from the boss fight, find the person's boyfriend who sent the letter, who gives you the letter that he found, and it turns out that he's dead. So there's that.
So tell
wait,
who Large Marge sent you?
Yeah. So but then you go back up.
That reference.
you go back up and give this girl back the letter, and she's like, "Oh, could you throw that away for me? I've already found a new boyfriend." The end.
Stop.
What the fuck? Or another example, and I guess these are kind of spoilers, but not really, because like I said, the story makes no sense. The latest mission that I played. Again, like I talked about last week, some of your quest markers are just like, oh, I need some fresh air. I'm going to explore. And it leads you to like a very specific point. And I ran into a scientist who was trying to place some, you know, beacons or whatever. And he's like, oh, thank God you know, we stumbled upon each other. I need help with this. And I'm like, well, didn't really stumble, had a quest marker. But sure, I'll help you. So I go place it all and help him out. And he's like this kind of cute, bumbling scientist. And at the end of the mission, you know, he walks away and it's like, he gets on the phone and he's like, my plan worked perfectly. I'm collecting data on her now. It's like, well, you planned to randomly run into me? Are you in charge of my quest markers? Like, how does this work?
Your quest markers.
Yeah. And he was like, it was like a, like not on a, like a thoroughfare or anything. It was way tucked away somewhere I would never go normally. So yeah, it's pretty random, but it's a lot of fun. What else have I been playing? I went back into Starbound after Cole talked about the tiers, and that's been amazing. I imagine you guys have already talked about that so far, right?
A little bit. Like, yeah. I've talked about how I am like almost out of enthusiasm until they finish the game, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm deep in climbing the tech trees, so yeah. I cheesed the robot fight by kind of pre-building a cage for him, which is nice. But yeah, it's kind of funny. You know, I'm not being given quest markers or quest rewards for building these new items. But honestly, once you realize that, hey, that's kind of the next step, you don't need a quest marker to tell you go do it. You kind of set your own goals, which I think you said last week, Cole. And that's a great way to play the game.
Yeah.
So that's been awesome. I know I'm forgetting something big, but I haven't had a chance to warm up and get in the groove here. So yeah. I'll just randomly interject with another game when I get to it.
Okay.
Oh, I'm downloading DMC now, and I just tweeted this, but the download for DMC is 6,669 megabytes. Most rebellious number ever, man. Rad. Hate my dad. 6,669. I am actually excited to play that game, though. It's I love the DMC franchise, and I think it's an interesting new direction. We'll see.
So you really haven't played this newest iteration of this franchise, which you really, really love.
No, I meant to, and then life happened, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean to play about 90% of the games that come out, and I play about 9, so.
Huh.
Yeah. That's me, though.
I mean, is that a PSN game or?
Yeah, downloading it for through PlayStation Plus. Which, holy shit, you guys!
PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, holy shit! Did you see PlayStation Now?
Oh yeah, that was my brief for this week.
Okay, well yeah, I agree with whatever you said about it. So
yeah, okay, cool.
All right, I'm caught up. Good.
Well, do you guys want to button it up?
You know what, Ben? I think it is time for us to button it up.
Oh, how anxiety-free of you, Cole.
I know, right? How good does that feel, Ben?
I don't know what to feel right now. I'm a flurry of emotions being a host.
It's like I don't even know who I am anymore.
I'm not cut out for this business.
It's like I don't even know who I am anymore.
I'm not cut out for this business. That was the 25th or 46th or 26th level. It's one of those three. Here's what you can do this week. You can contact us via Facebook. We did not contact you this week, but you can ask us questions or suggest questions of the week that we could ask you in turn. You can also use the Amazon link. In case you are looking to give back to the DuckFeed TV community, it doesn't cost you a thing, but if you're purchasing anything on Amazon, despite it being after Christmas now, it gives us a little bit of a tip. In addition, you can check out any of the other podcasts on the DuckFeed TV community. Am I missing anything else, guys?
No, that was good.
Oh, man. All right, maybe I'm cut out for this line of work, dude. So I guess we'll do our Twitter handles and then call it a night.
Yeah.
Dennis, I'm sorry that this seems like it seems like you just got here and we're already ending.
I know. I'm furiously trying to remember the other game I played to draw this out because I don't want to go.
I know this podcast is under 2 hours right now, so it feels wrong ending it. I know, But all right, but I think Cole said we can end it. We can button it up, so we're going to button it up. this has been Ben Merkel. You can follow me at Twitter, at Merkelizer. Good luck getting a tweet.
You can follow me, Cole Ross, at Cole Ross on Twitter.
You can follow me at MoneySmith777.
And you can follow me at, I'm sorry, I am so sorry that I was not here on time.
We didn't even think you were going to be here, so.
Yeah.
Hashtag, better. I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I was not here on time.
So, so sorry.
At DFuria, maybe I'll tweet about the other thing I played that I know I did, but, you
save,
know.
Save it for next time.
Okay, we'll do.
Okay, cool.
All right. Oh?
Get a hold of your troops, Ben.
Yeah,
I know. Get it. Fall in line, co-host. I was going to sign off with a reference to Popov's dog, but what were you going to say? What were you going to say, Dennis?
Go for it. Go for it.
That was my reference to Popov's dog. It did not get any more complex than that.
Nope.
So. But yeah. All right. Have a wonderful night and a wonderful week.
Oh, I remember. I was playing.
That was not the actual inventor of a Segway. People like sensationalized that story.
Was it just like the CEO at the time?
Yeah, it was just the guy who bought the company.
Yeah. Obviously didn't understand the Segway.
No, he didn't know the Wu-Tang secrets. If he would have protected his neck, he would have known.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for Wu-Tang references, man.
Me too, man. All right. I love the Wu-Tang clan.